Has anyone Outlook you can request to change the time? I've never tried to do it in Google Calendar before.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listener, I'm not sure if you're aware, but one of the largest factors when it comes to success in business is consistency. Not many preach this fact, since magic bullets and overnight success are much more exciting. The same also applies to our health and fitness. I hate when these so-called health experts preach to me about these two, especially since they rarely look in shape themselves. This is the reason why I brought in Chike Lindsey. He's one of the top Muay Thai fighters in the world. He can regulate his body weight like a machine. He's been my sensei on these topics for quite some time, and after doing some one-on-one training with him in the ring, I can vouch for one thing. He almost killed me during those workouts. We also touched on the paleo diet and CrossFit. All right, Chike, let's get into it.
Okay.
Because I see this being a big problem, and, you know, I kind of want to see how you... It's a little different, because you worked at a gym as a manager, right? And you probably had better access to a gym than almost anyone because you were in there. But then if someone is working at a co-working space or is working from home, what's the best way to get to actually even to a place where they exercise or to exercise? Do you think like body weight exercises even make sense?
Body weight exercises are good, but you know, really your exercise routine should be goal oriented, right? So it depends on what exactly your fitness goals are. I think that's the biggest problem with most people as far as their health and physical condition goes, is they have like really loosely defined goals. That's not really set in stone. Then there's no way to really get a good plan towards achieving it.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about these goals, because I see a lot of business people these days focusing on the process, right? So you probably heard that too. Focus on the process, not the goals. So walk me through that. How would you focus on the goals?
Really about maybe three main goals, right? Either you want to be better for sports performance, which is usually not the case for the average Joe. You want to gain more muscle mass, or you want to lose body fat. Usually the last two are what people are concerned with as far as getting in shape. So the last two goals, it's really just a simple matter of caloric intake versus caloric burn. If you want to gain weight, it's simple. You just consume more calories than you're burning. And if you want to lose weight, vice versa. Now, the kind of weight that you're gaining or losing depends on where those calories derive from. So obviously, if you want to gain weight, then it wants to be the majority of your intake from protein, low glycemic index carbohydrates, so that you're gaining as cleanly as possible, and then healthy fats.
So, are we talking more about eating or exercising now?
Well, the two are really closely intertwined.
Okay.
And that's the thing that most people aren't really aware of going into it. Changing your body is a good 60 to 70% diet.
Really?
Yeah. It is the most important part by far.
Let's say I just want to look really hardcore when I'm sitting at my desk working. So I'm going to go for strength and looking lean. So how should I eat? When should I work out? How long should I work out?
Me personally, I prefer to do workouts in the evening. That way everything, all the carbohydrates that I consume during the day, have a chance to get burnt off before I go to bed. And I don't have an opportunity to burn them anymore.
So it's like the last thing you do before sleep, or do you still eat something after that?
No, it's not the last thing you do before sleep. Yeah, you still eat something, but afterwards, then the amount of carbs is going to be greatly diminished. I don't have to watch my carbs as much if I know I'm going to work out later on in the day. As far as the amount goes, it still has to be low glycemic index carbs.
All right, so let's go through that. Let's go through a diet. Take me from the morning until evening, what you're eating, and let's also include any supplements or drinks that you're doing before or after workout.
You want to eat around five times a day, get your metabolism going a little bit better, and helps your body change more efficiently. So for someone on a mass gaining diet, the first meal is going to be very different from someone who's looking to lose body fat. The first meal wants to be relatively soon for when you wake up, about 20 minutes from the moment you wake up. For mass gaining, it's going to be something that your body can process very easily. Protein shake or eggs would be the foundation, and then a carbohydrate, such as a fruit, some more a simple sugar like that. For their next meal, I usually like a high-protein kind of snack. Lately, what I've been doing is a combination of almonds, peanuts, and grains. You can do a fruit with that as well, but that's good. The next meal is going to be lunch, and that lunch is going to be a lean protein. Chicken, turkey are going to be your staples. Beef is good about three times a week. A low glycemic index carbohydrate and green vegetables. The fourth meal is going to be similar to the second. Something that you can eat quickly but still going to give you the kind of protein that you're looking for, the kind of ratios that you're looking for. And then the final meal will be your dinner. And that comes ideally after you work out. So you're just going to replace that carbohydrate portion with another vegetable portion.
So no carbs after you work out?
It depends on how serious you are about body fat reduction. If you're trying to gain it, you're really worried about making sure that you're doing it as cleanly as possible, then you can go no carbs after you work out. If that's not the case, then you can still have carbs, just reduce the portion.
So this diet right here is to gain weight in a way, but to reduce fat.
Exactly. This is where you're going to be primarily concerned with gaining muscle mass and minimizing the amount of body fat that you gain at the same time. Typically, when you're gaining, you should expect to get a little bit of body fat at the same time. And that doesn't have to be the case based on how extreme you want the gain to be. So if you do it in this kind of way, your gaining won't be as super quick, but you'll do it a lot more cleanly.
So about those snacks, you mentioned the different nuts, right, that you're eating, maybe some fruit. What else would you mix it up with? Because I don't think it's good to eat that every single day, right? Twice a day.
Depends on how lazy you are. So I'm pretty lazy, so I don't mind having a little bit of monotony as long as it tastes very good. So I can deal with it. Other things that I have my guys eat are things like a salad with a lean protein on top. Also fruit with Greek yogurt. So those are good ways to mix it up from just the nut dish.
So that's like a snack. What about lunch, though? I would think salad with lean meat and a whole bunch of like other vegetables would be a lunch.
Not necessarily. You have to have some kind of carbohydrates you're planning on working out during the day. If you're not going to work out at all, then okay, you can have a salad and lean meat for lunch. But if you're going to work out, then you need some kind of fuel. So I prefer to have something that has carbohydrates, just as long as you're along the glycemic index. And I suppose it would make a lot of sense to talk a little bit about that, since that's been coming up so much.
Yeah, I actually was going to ask you that next, about the difference between what you're saying and the paleo diet.
It's actually not too dissimilar. And if I have to tell somebody a rough outline of how to eat and I don't have the time to sit down and actually come up with a meal plan for them, I typically do refer them to the paleo diet. It sounds a bit like a fad, but, you know, I was thinking about it. It really is. The core of what they're preaching is lean meats, carbohydrates are low in the glycemic index, lots of vegetables, good fats, and no processed crap. And that's the foundation of a good, healthy way of eating. It's just, you know, there's all these other bells and whistles along with it to make it seem like a fad and make it more popular.
What bells and whistles are we talking about?
Like stuff like you can eat oranges, but you can't eat pineapples, and all these little kind of tricks. And of course, you know, you're only eating things that Paleolithic man would eat. So if you can't tackle it and kill it with your hands, then you can't play your body. So
yeah, but in that way, I don't think we can eat beef, man. I still want to see someone who tackle and kill that.
Well, it depends on how many guys you got, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And it depends on your strategy. Two people get the legs, maybe four people get them off top. And
yeah, I think that's where CrossFit comes in.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the exercise routine. First of all, what do you think about CrossFit? Because that's one of the most popular ones out.
CrossFit's it's good because they put a lot of emphasis on, it's similar to the paleo diet, right? At its core, the concept is good. There's just a lot of kind of bells and whistles attached to it that make it seem like a fad and make it seem like something that's a little bit harder to respect. But what they're advocating is intense exercise for fairly short periods of time, but maximal effort. And I appreciate that. I'm a fan of that. I feel like the experience can vary wildly from CrossFit location to CrossFit location. And they're doing a lot of heavy movements that if you're not taught properly, you can really set yourself up for injury. So CrossFit locations really put emphasis on the form and make sure that you're doing everything you can to minimize those kind of risk for injury. Some, not so much.
That's a really nice way of saying it. You weren't this nice about it when we talked privately before. I remember that you had some different choices of words for this.
Well, those CrossFit guys, you know, they're like a gang, right? I mean, if they all hear this, they might come after me.
Yeah, it's a good strategy. Before workouts, during workouts, after workouts, talk about the supplements, shakes, what goes into them.
Again, it's all really based on your goals. Someone who's looking to reduce their body fat percentage isn't going to need to worry about as many supplements as somebody who's trying to gain. Really, the only supplements I advocate are whey protein powder, green superfoods. And with my protein shakes, I put protein powder, green superfoods, and ground flax meal as well. And that's just because in order for me to get the kind of protein that I need, it's going to be very hard to do it just from food sources alone. Now, if you're trying to lose weight, reduce your body fat percentage, then you don't need as much protein. And it's going to be very easy for you to get it from real sources instead of supplementary sources. And furthermore, it's going to be better for you to do it from real food because your body doesn't really have to work to break down powdered protein. It has to work to break down meat and nuts and seeds and whatever other protein treats you're going to use. That helps your metabolism go a little bit better.
So I've been hearing, especially in the CrossFit circles, that people say if you had only one supplement, you would probably have creatine, right? What do you think about that? What do you think the one supplement would be if that's all we could have? Let's say we're flying somewhere and we have very limited space.
It would be protein.
Really? Protein hands down?
Yeah, hands down. Because, I mean, protein is the building block of muscle. Creatine just helps you retain more water in your muscle. It's not really all that necessary for changing your body. It makes you look great on the beach if you want to drink a bunch of water and do a bunch of push-ups.
I think you just made a new routine for like half of us to think of, you know, going to the beach.
Take creatine in a vasodilator like arginine right before drinking a bunch of water and doing a bunch of push-ups and you'll look fantastic.
What was the second one? I'm about to Google that thing.
It's arginine.
Arginine. How do you spell it?
A-R-G-I-N-I-N-E.
Got it. All right. This is going to be in the show notes. This will be the one thing. If there's one thing you learned from this show, it's going to be this part. Just take some creatine, arginine, drink water, push-ups, and go to the beach or the pool.
The girls won't know what hit them.
So let's talk about the exercise then. Like, what kind of a routine should someone do if maybe they don't have as much experience as you, they don't have a personal trainer, they don't have access to the best gyms? Like, gyms in Thailand suck for the most part, so it's just, you know, some places don't have really good places to go to.
You know, the exercises that are going to matter the most don't really need a lot of equipment. I'm a big advocate of big mass movements. So that's your squats, that's your deadlifts, and your bench press. And pretty much everywhere you go, you can get to the most hole-in-the-wall gym on the furthest corner of the earth, and you'll be able to find something that you can bench press or that you can squat. And that's really going to do a lot more than all the other stuff, this little isolation movement exercises, all those combination machines. They're really just to sculpt little things. It's better for a bodybuilder who wants a little bit more separation between his interior delts and his chest. It's not necessarily something that's going to benefit you if you're just A, trying to burn fat, or B, trying to gain muscle mass.
Go a little more specific. Give a quick routine. Like, how long should it take? What kind of sets should they do? Just so people can get a kind of a rough idea of how a workout should look and if they should work out the same parts every day or different parts, which day should they work it on? Just give a little bit of more detail on this.
Okay. I'll tell you what I'm doing right now as far as my workout routine. And my workout routine is geared towards building a little bit of mass and also reducing body fat percentage at the same time. So it's that tone up kind of routine that a lot of people are looking for. But it's a little bit more geared towards a man because there's a little bit more mass movements involved. But my weightlifting is very quick. It takes me about 30 minutes and I do that twice a week. I do a 2-day week split. One day upper body, one day lower body. It always starts with, after your warm up, it always starts with the exercise that use the bigger muscle groups first. So upper body is very focused on bench press first. From there, I move into a couple supersets that involve military presses, bent over rows, and lateral delt raises. And then from there, back to bench press and some upright rows. You don't really need too much more than that. Pretty much each muscle group, since I'm doing so many compound movements, meaning movements that use multiple muscle groups at the same time, I'm hitting each muscle group a minimum of 3 times. And I'm doing those for 3 sets of 10.
And you do those how many days a week?
I do upper body once a week. The second weightlifting day is going to be lower body. Again, that's using the bigger muscle groups first. I'm doing my squats and my leg press first with a very heavy weight. And then from there, I move into hamstring curls and leg extensions and then calf raises. When you're doing your squats and your leg press, it's the most compound movement you can use with your lower body because that's working your quads, your glutes, and your hamstrings at the same time. So after I do my 2 weight training days, then I do 2 days for cardio. For me, my cardio is my sport-specific day. So that's where I'm doing more fight-oriented movements. So either jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai.
2 days a week, yeah. You do serious weightlifting, and then 2 other days a week, you do more cardio.
Yeah, exactly. And with this kind of cardio, it's not like running on a treadmill kind of cardio. It's still something that I have to use strength for. So it still works very well with the strength training aspect of what I'm doing. And that's something that's good to take advantage of when you're traveling in other countries as well, especially in Thailand, right? There's a Muay Thai gym on every corner. If you want to get a little bit of cardio, it's very easy to just pop over to one of those, pay day rate, and you're good to go.
It's even really easy to get into pools too. I've seen almost every hotel just allows you to pay a little bit and you can use their pool. And it's really simple. It's much easier than in the States.
But the nice thing about some kind of class format or a one-on-one format, you don't have to think. You just pay a guy and he'll just tell you what to do to work out. And when it's done, it's done. When you're in charge of your own workout, then you have to do a little bit of thinking and then it becomes a little bit tedious, especially if it's cardio.
Yeah, unless someone does what I did and has one-on-one with you and then can't walk for like a week.
But it was worth it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. So it kind of depends. Like, if you see someone that looks anything like Chike in the gym, just keep walking. Go for someone that's like that's a little smaller and easier to deal with. How long do you think an exercise routine should go for? Because I've seen people thinking 90 minutes or 45 minutes is a good idea. So I want to know what you think.
For the cardio portions, I do believe that 90 minutes, 45 minutes is good. As long as there's a period of very intense exercise in there. I'm not a proponent of just a nice, easy pace for 90 minutes. But for weightlifting, that shouldn't be more than 45, half an hour to 45 minutes.
Most of the people that said 45 to 90 minutes, they were talking about the weightlifting.
Yeah, as far as weightlifting goes, that's not remotely necessary.
So how different would this be for women? Because you mentioned some things, there's a difference, right? So with the diet and the exercising.
So, well, the women, the big focus is making sure that through exercise, they don't end up looking masculine. That's always the big concern.
Right.
So the weight training just changes slightly. We focus a little bit more on lower pecs when we do bench press, so more decline bench press, that we don't get that weird muscle at the top of the bust line that makes it look like they're really a dude. And we put a lot more emphasis on going very heavy with the legs as opposed to going very heavy with upper body. And the reason being, I mean, you can build as much muscle mass as you want. You're never going to look not feminine in your legs. And that extra muscle mass is going to, it's going to take more calories to maintain, which means that your body's going to naturally burn more just by having a little bit more muscle mass in your legs.
You did speak about calories quite a bit. So let's move back a little bit to the diet portions. You're in like the, 170, 175 pound range, right? When you fight? I'm trying to think. Or 160? Well, yeah. I'm just trying to see like, so people can baseline and how much should they eat?
Okay. Well, technically, yes. I'm typically about 175. I weigh in at 154, but my last few fights, I was back at 155 in the range. So what was the question again?
The portions. So the reason I kind of wanted to get your weight out there so people can baseline off of that and kind of be like, God, well, I weigh a little more, so maybe I'll eat more of this, you know, or I weigh less, so I should eat less. But like your portions, right? So how much are you eating?
To gain mass or to maintain if you're doing strenuous cardio at the same time as you're doing your weight training, you want to be eating about your body weight in protein. So for somebody about 170, 175, you're going to be looking to get about 175 grams of protein throughout the course of the day. Easy way to do it is all the other portions of your meals, which are going to be carbohydrates and fats and your vegetables, they're going to be based on that amount. So if I'm getting 30 grams of protein in one meal, then I want to get about 20 grams of complex carbohydrate and a portion of vegetables that matches that.
And you do that for each of the meals, or how would you break that down throughout the day?
Yeah, exactly. So with the nuts and seeds kind of thing, nuts and seeds all have about a 1-to-1 ratio of protein to carbohydrate. So if you're eating nuts and seeds, then you don't have to worry about matching the carbohydrate with the protein. It's already pretty much done for you. As long as you're getting the protein that you need from that meal, you're going to be getting the amount of carbohydrates that you need from that meal as well. If it's a meat, then you're just going to match it with an adequate amount of carbohydrate and vegetable.
When you travel, how do you maintain the same type of diet and everything? Because I mean, Thailand in a lot of ways is probably pretty easy because their food kind of matches what you've been talking about, but some countries don't.
Well, you know, what I found is the things that are hardest to get when you're traveling, it's stuff that you don't need anyway. It's peanut butter. It's Kit Kats. It's Pringles.
I found all that stuff. I found it all.
Well, you have access to a lot of things that people don't have access to.
Dude, it's all out there. It's all there.
But yeah, if you're sticking to the core of what you need, which is lean meat, complex carbohydrates, vegetables, there's pretty much no country in the world where you can't get that. Honestly, it's usually a little bit easier to get in a third world country than somewhere that's very advanced.
So you're saying that the meats, rice, well, no, some of the countries, it's not that easy to get rice at the restaurants, especially in Europe.
Yeah, at restaurants, it may be a little bit more difficult, but at the grocery store there, it's pretty easy. I mean, you just have, I like to travel with a rice cooker, with a small miniature rice cooker. You can get brown rice in most places, so.
Hold on a second. You travel with can you send me a link to that? I want to put it in the show notes for people, because I bet you that's, no, I'm serious.
Okay, yeah, sure. I actually got a miniature one as a gift before my fight with Yeltsin Klack, and that's what I usually do now.
Miniature makes it really rice cooker. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, if you could just pop the link over, can you, never even heard of such a thing. Seriously, if it works, that's why I wanted you to send me a link, so something that works.
Okay.
Also, how do you deal with jet lag? Because every time I land somewhere overseas for the first 2-3 days, I'm like, I'll take those Kit Kats, I can't think well.
My method of dealing with jet lag is probably not, this is probably not the best method, but I'll let you know what I do anyway. So my secret is I just always wait till the last minute to pack. And the night before I travel, I just spend all night packing and I don't sleep at all. And then when I sleep on the plane, I kind of get my body adjusted to sleeping at an entirely different time. And I get acclimated to the time zone a lot quicker that way.
Yeah, but most people can't sleep on planes. I finally slept on the plane last time, but only because I got a first class ticket so I could lay down properly.
Yeah, well, that's been a gift and a curse of mine, is I can sleep anywhere.
Yeah, I actually noticed that, so you're right.
So it comes in handy on international flights, not so much on long cross-country drives.
Yeah, I was... Yeah, dude, you don't look like a safe driver.
It's good. It keeps the other drivers on their toes.
You know, what do you think of Manuka honey? Because the wife's been saying it's like medicine, and I just spent $30 on a jar.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Things like that come up every couple of months. There's always going to be some hot new food or hot new product that's like medicine, like magic. And that's one of the pitfalls of nutrition, right? Everyone's looking for, even fitness too, everyone's looking for that magic bean, that one thing that they can take, that one thing they can do that's going to make everything perfect. I mean, really, if you stick to those sound principles of diet and exercise, and things like Manuka honey are just going to be something extra.
So you're saying I didn't spend my money wisely? In a nice way. That's what you're trying to say to me.
If it made your wife happy, then maybe you did. But as far as achieving your fitness goals, not so much.
That's a good way to justify it. This has been great. So tell people where they can find you if they want to get in contact with you.
Yeah, the best place to find me is on my website. It's tklindsay.com. Really, really shortly, I'm going to be launching another website that goes more into questions, both about nutrition and fitness, and about specific fighting with Muay Thai instruction as well. And that's going to be askchike.com. But it'll link back to chikelindsay.com anyway, so that's the only one you really need to remember.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.